The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be true to you, my God and King. Amen. The word love has one of the longest entries in the Oxford English Dictionary. This one word serves so many purposes that it seems important to think about its use in the translation of the Bible into English, as well as what putting into action Jesus' words means to us. Last week's reading from St. John asked us to look at our relationship with God, moving from the view held by the Jewish people that their relationship with God was God's gift to the nation, uniquely given to them, a relationship between them and God, with no obligation to spread this relationship outside the nation. When Jesus describes himself as the vine, he connects his disciples to us, to God in a different way. And so we, as branches of the vine, are connected to the trunk, Jesus, and have a role not only to God, but also a responsibility to share and spread our knowledge of God's love to the people we meet and amongst whom we live. The word love is introduced in today's passage. Other words have been used over time in an attempt to convey the meaning of the love expressed, the love that passes from God the Father to the people, the love that we in turn should pass on. Eros was used, and its use resulted in the word charity being used in translations, for example, in the King James Version of 1 Corinthians 13. Agape has also been used, but as it's been used for friendship and agape meals, perhaps neither of these seems to bring the understanding of the love God blesses us with. The idea that love is experienced within a family is a good way of expressing the love within the Christian family, can be problematic for those whose experience is of unkindness and even cruelty within a family. But if taken at its ideal, the love of the prodigal son's father, showing a love that does not end or diminish, but welcomes, embraces, and accepts his son as he is, always seems to me the best way of expressing the best relationship between two people, or between each of us and God. But we are human, and as such inclined to divide into groups, nations, religious sects, and political groups, so allowing fear and antagonism to develop between us. We are inclined to associate with those who share our views, with whom we feel comfortable. I like the story of the two boys growing up in Sheffield. They were neighbours, James and John. They played together happily all week, but on Saturday afternoons, it was a different story. The one boy went to Sheffield Wednesday with his father, and the other to Sheffield United games with his father. Of course, the two should never meet, should they? It was impossible. Didn't happen. But these boys were friends. And when he was about 9, John asked if he could take a friend with him to the football. He asked James. After some long discussion within the family, you can imagine it going on, can't you? James's father reluctantly agreed that he should go. I mean, it was the opposition, wasn't it? Didn't seem right. So he left his blue and white scarf at home and went to the match. It was a good game. And James returned home full of the game as well as the post-match pizza. A few weeks later, his dad decided that James should ask John to a match because he wanted to show that their team was just as good. The boys enjoyed going together to watch the game, but of course the red and white scarf was left at home. Luckily, both fathers realised that the boys enjoyed watching the games together, and it became a regular thing. Now they could go to football every week. It was cheap to take youngsters to football in Sheffield, apparently. And not just alternate weeks. But the scarf situation continued, one of each colour between the two of them. James talked to his grandmother about it. It was just something to talk to her about. But the next time he visited, there were two parcels waiting for him. One labelled James and one labelled John. He took the parcels home and immediately went round to John to open them together. Inside was a scarf, one each. One side was red and white, and the other was blue and white. They both had scarves to wear to football every week. And the nice ending to this story is that their fathers also started going to the other team's games occasionally. Not every week, because that would have been expensive, but on occasions. A sectarian divide was narrowed. Mutual appreciation developed, replacing rivalry. In today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples faced a dividing line as they started to form the church. They were Jews and had lived their lives within the understanding of Judaism. It must have taken them by surprise that the Holy Spirit should endorse these Gentiles to them, outsiders. Should these people be baptized? You can almost hear the background chatter among those around Peter. Surely baptism was for the people of God. These interlopers had no right. It would weaken the faith. In their way of thinking, the people of God were the Jews. But Peter grasps the importance of the gift of the Spirit and announces that he will baptize these new believers. A boundary to who can become Christian is broken. The branches of the vine extended. Okay, but that was then. What about now? This is not just about major conflicts in the world where faith or clan or politics can become more important than neighbour, but it's also about our daily life and the people among whom we live, about how we interact with individuals from other churches, people who do not share our politics and worldview, other faith groups, other ethnic backgrounds. Do we have time for them? Do we listen to them when we meet them? Do we hear what they have to say? Do we go out of our way to meet others outside our own group? And how tolerant are we of those within the group who do not share our views and ideas? It is easy to love those we like, but we're being challenged to something harder, to love those we instinctively shy away from. In further everyday prayers, David Jenkins wrote, "Lord, stretch our minds. Make us think, Lord. Prick us to look again at the phrases that trip off our tongues in church, to see them with fresh eyes. Make us alive to the huge things we say and sing. When we are letting familiar words watch over us, wake us up to the enormity of what they are telling us. Lord, what you are and what you have done are more than our little brains can properly get hold of. But stimulate us at least to make the effort. It may not be easy to love as Jesus asks us, but we must try.